Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Perek Hay, the fifth Perek of Sefer Micha. And this Perek is a short one, only again of 14 psukim, yet half of it actually is the beginning half of the Haftorah for Parshas Balak. So let's take a quick look at this. It is essentially divided into two brief sections, one which runs from Aleph to Hay, the first five psukim, in which this is actually a premonition or a nevuah about Mashiach. He talks about Mimcha li yetzei, from you there's going to, for me there's going to arise Lios Moshel be Israel. There's going to be this leader among Israel who's going to lead you. Where is he going to come from? So Micha points out Beis Lechem Ephrasa, from Bethlehem in Ephras, and in such at such a time, I'll give him to you at the time of your Leida Yolda, at the time that you will give birth through this birthing process. And it's talked about how he goes on to describe how this person will be a figurehead who will bring people from all sides of the earth. Ze shalom, and there will be peace from Ashur, from Assyria in the north. And you will establish Shiva Ro'im Ushmona Nesichei Adam. You're going to establish representatives in the north. And they're going to pasture or shepherd Israel beyond the sword. And it's going to be a time of peace. There'll no longer be crossings into your border. This is the first description or the first section of this parak. One or two basic things to think about. And that is that it is clear, as the Abar Benel points out, that this Mashiach is the Mashiach ben David, is the Messiah from the seed of David. And it is true that there is discussed in Chazal what's called a Mashiach ben Yosef, a precursor Mashiach, a Messiah who will fight the wars of Israel and be killed in the battles. Is the Messiah who comes from the tribe of Yosef. But this is happening afterwards. And in fact, the Abar Benel suggests that when it talks about how the Yeser Echov Yeshuvun in Pasuk Beis, that all the rest of the brothers will return, Al Bnei Yisrael, is potentially after seeing that they followed the Mashiach ben Yosef and was not successful fully, that's when they will recognize the Mashiach ben David, and this will become the process of the full Geula. It is noteworthy to point out that the Gemara in Yuma on Yud Amud Aleph says that in the metaphor which is used in Pasuk Beis about Ad Eis Yoleida Yolada, at the time of birth, the birth will come, that the Mashiach is going to come after 9 months when the Malchus HaRasha'ah, the evil kingdom, will dominate the world. That means to say there's going to be a time that will feel extremely negative, that will seem to be an eclipsing, so to speak, of Hashem's presence in the world. But after that is when the Mashiach ben David will emerge. Something to bear in mind when the clouds gather and the goings get very, very tough. Rachmona litzlan. It is interesting also to note that in this prophecy of peace and the Mashiach, there is a focus on the northern border. The northern border is obviously significant. When we think about Yirmiyahu, when we think about Yeshayahu, they're always talking about the north being a place for bad, for evil. Mitzafon tipotach ha-ra'ah. That, as Yirmiyahu says, that from the north evil will come. That's where Babel comes through. That's where Assyria comes through. Today, when we think about the Hezbollah, we think about the Syrian regime, the Iranian regime. We think about a lot of negativity up in the north. And we're witnessing how Yerushalayim is going to be the centerpiece for peace. And the northern boundary will be strong. We see the U.S. recognition for the Golan Heights as a strength. This is somewhat really a prophetic moment where we're seeing security being assured on the north by Ezras Hashem. Moving to the second half of the parak from Vov to the conclusion Yodalad. This is relating to the Jews in exile. And this section of the parak is in fact the beginning of our Torah for Parshas Balak. Just as an overall way of looking at this, the Abar Benel presents two options as to how we can read this section. It talks about, and the first pasuk really is the one which delineates these two. The first pasuk goes as follows. Vayosha Eris Yaakov, the remainder of Jacob, Bekerev Amim Rabim, will be among many nations. Katal Me'es Hashem will be like dew, Kirvivim Alei Esev, will be like this sort of dew which arises every morning on the lawns. Asher lo yakavel ish v'lo yeyachel livnei adam, which will not depend or hope upon any of the human beings. What is going on in this metaphor? What is happening in this nevuah and the continuation? So the Abamanel says option number one is that this is referring to the Jews who are found in Galus and found in the diaspora among many nations. What will happen is their overlords will return to fight in Israel, and this will be the sort of apocalyptic war at the end of days. But it'll be like tal, it'll be like dew, in the sense that this will be a natural process. It's not like people are choosing to do this. This is the natural magnetic north to which everybody will be pulled, drawn, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan at the end of the day. And at such a time, Israel will finally remember that they don't need allies. It's not because they depend on one nation, they depend on another nation. What is happening is the recognition and the realization that they ultimately are trusting in God. That's one way of reading this whole section. The other way of reading this section is that no, this is referring to a retribution process. When the Jews will be in Golos, in all the four corners of the diaspora, there will be some nations which were very good to the nation of Israel, and there were some nations which were very bad to the nation of Israel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that in the end of the day, he's going to bring them all to Yerushalayim, and there's going to be retribution for those who did not, and there will be great blessing like dew for those who did. And he goes on in this section to describe how the enemies will be smitten. And not only will the enemies, but v'hichrati cheshofim miyadecha, even the kishuf, which means the witchcraft, all the things you depended on beforehand. And Hashem promises, at the very end, v'asisi ba'af uvechema nakom es hagoyim asher lo shameo. And I'll take retribution and vengeance on all those unaccounted for in history. Massacres, pogroms, otadufes, expulsions, inquisitions, I will take care of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It seems that in the section, two corrections seem to be happening from Micha's previous retribution. Number one is the trust in other nations is falling away. We're no longer going to wait for those nations. We're not going to wait for the Frances of the world to create an arms embargo before 1967 when Israel really needed their arms. They're not going to be waiting for all these nations which said they'll be with us and they aren't with us. Israel will realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is their only hope. And that's our number one. And number two is they won't trust in other nations and they won't trust in the signs, the Kishuf and the Ma'onanim, all the signs which they hoped and the previous prophets had said will be show you that this is the way to succeed. The last thing I just want to focus on is this image of dew. It is a really powerful image that Israel in the diaspora is compared to dew on grass. Why that? So Rav Gidon Weitzman in his Sefer on the Haftarah, on Parashas Balak, makes a very fascinating argument, and that is that when you see rain coming down, as long as the rain is falling, you can see it. You just need to look carefully and you'll see it. Dew you can't see, because dew is not falling. Dew you can only see when it emerges, when it crystallizes actually on the blades of grass, when it crystallizes on the leaves itself. Only when Israel is distinct is it visible. Only when Israel is separate is it visible. When it maintains its own national character and does not become the melting pot of other cultures. This relates exactly to the parasha of Balak itself, because at the end of Parashas Balak is when an individual by the name of Zimri, who is the Nasi Beis Av, who is one of the leaders of the tribe of Shimon, goes to Moshe Rabbeinu and takes in front of the whole nation a Midianite princess whose name is Cosby and starts performing a public relationship with her. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin fills us in that, in fact, it wasn't just simply an act of, you know, gross indulgence. This was an ideological debate that he was having with Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu, if you're going to tell us that we can't marry Midianite women, then what were you doing marrying Zipporah? How could you marry your own wife? Meaning to say, this is an ideological discussion as to what is the role of Israel apropos the other nations of the world. And what Zimri is saying is that ultimately you demonstrated that assimilation or connection is an appropriate method. Yes, it was before the time of Matan Torah, but nonetheless, he felt that it was appropriate. What he seemed to be missing was, in fact, the blessing which Bilam gave just a little earlier in the parasha itself, which is, in his first blessing, Hein am levadad yishkon uvagoyim lo yischashav. You are a nation who will dwell alone, and you will not be considered among the other nations. How are we distinct? How are we unique? When we realize that we don't have to be the best of every other culture to succeed, but when we're the best of ourselves, when we're proud to be ourselves, that is when we will succeed. In the words of the Ha'emek Davar, Rav Natzvi Yehuda Berlin, on his commentary on this pasuk in the Torah, he says in his own words, Achshav tishetshukasam haya lehishtavois im umos ha'olam. The moment you want to be like the other nations of the world, then na'asu badad mehem. Then you become lonely from them. And Jews seem to always want to be like the nations they're among. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is the truth is, the axiomatic truth is that uvagoyim lo yischashav, you're going to never be fully accepted into those cultures. In the words of Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, non-Jews are proud of Jews who are proud of their Judaism and are embarrassed of Jews who are embarrassed of their Judaism. And that's what the due principle is. Sharis Israel is going to be like Tal because it is only visible when it is distinct. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.